What time did you? What was the score in the Flame game when you called it a night, Steve?
It was the end of the second period.
Oh dear, 4-2.
Yeah, so I was feeling pretty good for you guys and the team and all that.
But what was your thought when that 4-2 goal went in? Did you kind of or did you still feel like it was in the bag?
No, it was a little bit. That was a little bit of that. Yeah, just same as when the 2-1 goal went in. So a little bit of that, right? Just kind of, boy, this is kind of against the flow of play, and that's not a good thing ever when you've kind of got a game under control and you give one up. But it didn't seem particularly fatal. And again, this morning I did catch up with the high stick this morning, so I'm fully versed on what happened.
All right. Well, thoughts on the call on the ice being a goal and then the review confirming a goal?
Well, if you're going to have a review system, the goal of the review system is to get it right. And I don't see any way in which they got it right. It seems pretty clear cut to me. Now, I heard my colleague John Shannon on the TV this morning, who's a guy who's very tapped into the league office, and he said, well, you know, they see all these different angles and da-da-da, and they want to get it right, and they, you know, kind of, I guess the suggestion is that they see secret things that we don't see, but every angle I saw showed that puck going in off a high stick.
If they see secret things that we don't see, why don't we see them?
Well, that's a good question. Right?
Share them, by all means.
But I have not seen a replay in which it did not appear that puck went in off a clearly high stick.
And they took their time with it. Like, it wasn't
Their time with it. And, you know, and again, if the replay system can't overturn that call on the ice, you know, and again, I don't blame the guys on the ice for getting it wrong, because that's going to happen. And that's a tricky one sometimes, and that's fast. And, you know, but if a replay system doesn't correct a call like that, then why do you have a replay system? You know, and I look at it, I would say the same thing if it was the Ducks' goal that was disallowed, if it was a Flames' goal was disallowed, right, or any combination, right? It's just that's why replay systems exist.
Why?
Just for a situation like that, right?
I just think if you're going to have a high stick reviewable, you're going to need a camera near the height of the crossbar. Like, that's the silliest thing, is it not? That we're going to camera angles from 60 feet in the sky and expecting to get confirmation or not confirmation? Like,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yes, but, you know, at a certain point, you may not have an absolutely perfect angle for every, you know, like, it's, you can do it, you know, for the goal line, yeah, you can get a pretty definitive angle now. It's going to be, you know, it may be impossible to get an absolute perfect shoulder-on angle for a high stick call for every point on the ice. But at a certain point then, you know, you have to kind of allow your eyes to tell you what they're seeing. Don't you?
Yeah.
It's like there's no one has the courage of their convictions.
See, here's the thing, and we can have this debate, but on a night where the Flames, they still had a lead with 8 and change to go in the game, they were not called, they were not given a penalty. They had 0 penalties to kill off. I have a hard time here this morning, after watching that game, spending a whole lot of time griping about the officials.
A great deal went the Flames' way. That's a very mature attitude, and you're right.
Mm.
You know, and games are lost for all kinds of reasons. And you can go back through, and if you blow a 4-1 lead, you probably deserve to lose on some level, right? You had it. Lock it down. Suck the air out of the rink. Win. Go on to the next one. But, you know, they did not lose the game because of a call that was missed on the ice and a replay review that was not given. They lost it because they blew a 4-1 lead in a playoff game at home with everything on their side. And you can look, you know, there was some iffy goaltending, there's some iffy play all around, there's a bit of panic, there's a bunch of things that kick in there. And, yeah, if you take the kind of holistic view of why they lost the game and then say the mature view, that's exactly right. But it's hard not to go and look at that call and say, boy, I am baffled by how the system functioned there.
Now, I want to lean on you here again. Aside from that high stick goal, the other goals would be considered very soft on Brian Elliott. And as you can imagine, here in town, in the biggest game that this team has played in a long, long time, he played one of the worst games we've seen from him in a long, long time. They don't have a goalie for next year. He's a free agent. Is it too easy this morning while everyone is filled with vitriol to say you can't bring him back? Or after what you saw in St. Louis and now in Calgary, have you seen enough from Brian Elliott that maybe he's not the guy to lead you to any postseason success?
I think in order to win in the postseason, you know, you have, I don't think anybody in this league can succeed in the postseason without goaltending that is, you know, that you can absolutely trust. You know, and it doesn't mean you have to have the greatest goaltender in the world. But, you know, look at the teams that are succeeding in the playoffs right now, and look at the kind of goaltending they're getting. Right? Look at what Cam Talbot's doing in Edmonton. You know, look what Freddie Anderson's doing for the Leafs.
Rene?
Carey Price versus Lundqvist. You know, the reason that, like, you know, both guys have been great in that series, but, you know, Carey Price is now, you know, is getting into unbeatable mode in that series. That's how you win, right? You can see it's through a regular season, you can scuffle along with two guys as long as they're at least B+ and or A-, and you can be a really good team. But there are moments in the playoffs when you need a guy to make a stop. And, you know, even if you're a great team, you know, even if you're a great, you know, think of those New Jersey teams, the trap teams, but they still had Brodeur back there. Right? You still had a guy when you needed that stop, you got the stop. And I think there's kind of a trust factor that kicks in. I'm not saying he can't do it, but he hasn't done it. And that means, you know, I wonder how you could trust him. You know, to get to this point next year, right, go through an entire season. And, you know, that's going to be that question will be hanging, you know, not just in the minds of the fans, but in the minds of the guys who play with them. I've, you know, again, not to make everything about the Leafs, but I've, you know, we've seen successive guys here who were good, but, you know, including the guy who played for Anaheim in the second half of the game last night, Bernier, who are very good goaltenders, you know, NHL goaltenders, but, you know, in kind of key moments weren't quite good enough. James Reimer, you know, a bunch of guys like that, where they're good. They can play in the NHL, but they're not the guy that can get you through a playoff series when you have, you know, when there are those moments of need. Right? You can't have a guy coughing up rebounds in a game that you've already won. You know, it can't happen. You know, he has to be part of closing that game. He has to be a big part of closing that game, and he wasn't. So, now you got to find somebody else then, and, you know, you get into the quest of who the next guy is, and you're probably going to go out on a limb, you know, unless there's somebody absolutely blue chip available to you, which is unlikely. You're probably going to be taking on somebody else where he's got to prove it. But I think it's hard to go back after. It's not like he cost you this series, and, you know, this series is still to be played, and stranger things have happened. But look, it's going to be hard to not look back at that game last night and say a lot of guys could have won that game.
Who would you start in game four? Would you go to Elliott and give him a shot at redemption, or do you go straight to Johnson?
I think I would, you know, it's desperate times, right? I think I would be tempted to make the switch and hope something miraculous happens.
Time to switch.
Yeah. It's desperate times, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, 0-3, it probably doesn't matter, but you never know. I think last night was Elliott's, you know, that was his game to win. It's never just the goalie. It's always, there are other factors, but yeah, it's going to be hard to look back on that game and not say, boy, there's a couple of big fat rebounds he coughed up that he did not, you can't do, even on the first goal, right? Just, which again, kind of gave them some life at a time when they were really being outplayed. Big fat rebound. You can't do that.
Stephen Brutt, our guest here on Boomer and Warner in the Morning. I think we all kind of knew at some point during this postseason there was going to be a holy crap moment for the Washington Capitals en route to maybe a Stanley Cup berth or championship. I didn't think it was going to come 3 or 4 games into the opening round series against Toronto, but here they are. It's now a mental thing. The Leafs have played very well. All the games have gone to overtime, which has got to be really scary for the Caps. And meanwhile, the Leafs, it's like when you have those young teams with players, they don't know any better, right? We shouldn't be doing this, but here we are.
Yeah, you nailed it. They don't know any better. You know, they haven't known any better all year. All the smart guys standing on the sidelines said, "Well, they're good, but you know, they're not going to make the playoffs, or they're good, but they're going to fold up after Christmas because they'll hit the rookie wall, or they're good, but they didn't draw Ottawa in the first round because they lost that last game, so now they're against the President's Trophy winning team, so they're going to lose and they're going to get swept, but that'll be fine because they'll learn a lesson for next year." I give Babcock. I'm not one for kind of coaching hocus pocus. You know, I think most of that's BS.
Don't do it. Don't.
But he's
confident enough, Steven.
They're ready to play.
Yeah, they are.
They didn't play. They're not playing scared. And they're playing against a team that's a little bit tense because of history. And I like the fact that they went in and they weren't scared. They just went, they've got nothing to lose, right? They're like next year or the year after, that's when the pressure will be on these guys. There'll be all kinds of expectations. There'll be nutty expectations even now going into next year. But this, it's all gravy with this playoff. They're going in against the first place team. They haven't been in the playoffs in a few years. They're really young. They've lost a bunch of guys on defense. Their defense isn't very good to start with. You know, what the hell? You get swept. You could nobly be swept in this series and call the season a big success. But, they went in and played, right? And they played their game.
So are they going to win?
I still can't believe it. No, I still can't. I can't say that. But last night, last night was the kind of the point where it tipped into the ridiculous for me. Where I said, this isn't really happening. Where they're down 3-1, you think, okay. Washington is now asserting themselves. The natural order is reestablished. The Leafs are going to – the home fans get a couple of games. Everybody's happy. They make more money down here. Everybody's happy about that. Well, people who run our place are happy anyway. And now it's off to next year. But, the fact that Washington let that one slide and, these guys just kept coming at them. And, when that overtime goal went in, I started to think this is getting spooky. So I don't know. I still can't believe it. I cannot utter the sentence, "I think the Leafs are going to win this series." But they're up 2-1. The guy in game 4 is at home, and the other guys look like they might be panicking.
Well, I see there's a lot of guys in Toronto that are very happy to tell you that they could. Oh, hey, I told you they could win this series already.
Nobody said that.
I've seen it this morning. Oh, hey, I told you.
Only dark guy believe. That's what I'm told.
I'll tell you, go back and look at the expert picks for this series and find anybody who said it was going to go more than 5. With Washington winning.
Yeah, not many.
None. Zero. You can look it up. It's sometimes the cliches are true, right? That Washington is a team that, no matter what kind of regular season they have, even when you shuffle the personnel, you bring in new guys, they're stacked. You got a coach there that everybody respects. And Barry Trotz, everybody likes Barry Trotz. But sometimes it gets in teams' heads that they can't, until they do it, it's very hard for them to get over that hurdle. And, they look like a team that's second-guessing themselves. Why would they? They cruised through the entire season. They were tremendous. They got a great goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their defense and put that top six up against any top six in the league. I have no explanation at all. But it's kind of fun.
It's great
fun. From this point of view, it's lots of fun.
Last night was only the third time in NHL playoff history that 4 games went to overtime.
Wow.
What a night.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm somebody in the Rogers ownership clearly did a deal with Satan this year. They blew it last year, so they did the deal with the right guy this year.
And while we're talking about it, I'm going to bring... Anyway, I received a text. Don't think you care. We were just... Pinder and I were kind of admiring and looking at Ron McLean. Just absolutely in his zone. It's hard to believe that anyone ever thought that he shouldn't be the guy to do that job. But seeing him last night as they're bouncing between overtimes on this channel and Calgary were going here and Ottawa's going there and just the analysis, his ability to sit in the pocket.
He's a poet. It's unbelievable.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, he's... and this is no slight to anybody else, okay, who might have tried to do that job. But, there was Dave Hodge and now there's Ron. Guys who are great on their feet, who love the game. You know, Ron lives the game. Ron watches more hockey than anyone on earth. You know, it's not a holiday. This is not a, it's not like a, you know, he's not a tourist, right? He lives it. And, you know, in these moments with Canadian teams in the playoffs and all the drama, and as you say, kind of wheeling from this story to this story to this story to this story, there's never been anyone who's been better at that job than him. And there's a comfort. You know, if you're a hockey fan in this country, like I was judged by, you know, my other life out in Newfoundland, you know, the guys in the Legion in Woody Point, Newfoundland, who, you know, I occasionally have a beer or four with. Yeah. You know, he's their guy, right? You know, he's their guy. And, you know, when he says something, they believe it. And when he gets poetic, they tolerate it. And, you know, Ron goes all over the place. You know, like, you never quite know where he's going to go. He hits on some interesting notes some nights that have nothing to do with hockey. But they trust him, right? I think that's what it comes down to. They trust him and they believe him. And that is a great quality in a broadcaster.
Do you need to talk about the Jays, or are we done here?
No, we could skip
today. I can give you a little bit of half good news.
All
okay,
right.
Before we start, okay, that, like, Jay Happ did not blow his elbow out, it would appear. It looks like it's at worst an irritation, nothing structural, so no Tommy John surgery, none of that. Sounds like he'll be back quite soon. And they're feeling good about the whatever they have done to fix Aaron Sanchez's blister. I think they did. It was explained to me, it was like doing something on someone's ingrown toenail, which is kind of gross, but they think he's going to be okay in the long run too. Josh Donaldson, they don't know so much right now when he's coming back, but you know, at least J-Hop's season is not over as it appeared it might have been. So there's a flicker of good news for a 2-10 team who play the Red Sox tonight.
They're going to need him back in time for that fire sale, Stephen. So good to see his health.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Well, I just, yeah. They're not hitting, and they didn't hit a lot of last year.
No,
it's going to take them 2 months to get back into it if they play well, and I don't even know if they can play well. That's my concern.
If they don't hit, it's a moot point, right? It's, you know, the pitching's terrific. Could be terrific, but, you know, again, what we've seen the first 12 games, it's not like, yeah, it looks unfortunate. It looks a bit like last September, and, yeah, that if that continues, then we will be talking about some kind of, they will be sellers. Let's put it that way.
Enjoy the week, Steve. We'll talk Friday. Thanks.
All right. Hang in, boys.